Well, it is good to be with you this morning, a blessing.
It's been a little while since I've been in Kansas. I never was stationed here at Fort Sill and drove through Manhattan. Last summer, my wife and I were headed out to our newest agency church plant outside the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. So we just drove that long straight line across the state. And so it was nice not to have to do that this time, to get to stop only partway through and spend some time with you folks. I'm grateful always to be in churches, but for me, obviously, being involved with the military all my life, but now in ministry, this is a special visit for me, a special opportunity, and really a special time in the life of a church. It really is exciting whenever you get to be around other believers who are burdened for others to hear the gospel, wherever that might be. These countries that are represented along the sides here with those flags, or just people that we have an opportunity to share the gospel with ourselves. I hail out of Virginia, which is where our agency home office is. Armed Forces Baptist Missions, I'll be sharing more, I think, Monday night. But we're a ministry of a local church. Although we are a missions agency, we're not separate. I'm a big local church guy. I think that's God's emphasis in the New Testament. And so my pastor happens to be my boss. And we talk quite regularly, actually. I like to stay plugged into what's going on there. And he likes to stay plugged in with what God's doing. But the need is a lot farther away than Virginia, even farther away than Kansas. And so I'll share more. But our missions areas are in different parts of the world because that's where our military is. And I know in an audience like this, I could be. How many here either are serving now? I know the Millers are. And that was a blessing last night. It's great when you're a visitor and you're coming in to get plugged in immediately, obviously with the pastor and his wife, but in this case with one of the families of your church, it's a special opportunity. But how many are serving maybe actively or National Guard Reserve? Okay, amen. How many veterans? Okay. How many have family members that are serving as well? Okay, so quite a number of you. So you can appreciate kind of what that looks like, what it feels like, and kind of the roller coaster ride that it can be, whether you're going through it yourself or you're on the periphery, maybe doing a lot of praying, a lot of thinking. I want to spend our time together this morning talking about something that may seem very familiar to you, maybe not. I hope as we think about it together, maybe it'll cause you to think about it a little bit differently. Sometimes in these days, it feels like the military could be harder to reach than ever before because you hear about what's going on in their ranks, some of the emphasis that's coming from some of our most senior leadership, and you think, man, how are we ever going to penetrate that with the gospel? But God's not deterred by any of that, is he? Amen. He's not. He's not. The door is still open. The answer is, you know, how willing are we to try to go through whatever door of opportunity God might give us? So let's just pray, and I'm going to ask God to bless our time as well. I appreciate the pastor. But Father, thank you for these folks, Lord, for a commitment to you that has brought them here this morning. Lord, I pray that as we think about a mission field this morning, Father, that you would stir our hearts. You'd confirm in our minds things we know to be true, perhaps challenge us in our minds about things that we ought to be thinking more about. Lord, I pray that you would allow Faith Baptist Church to experience an open door of opportunity perhaps they've not seen for some time, or that might be new and exciting and expanding their ministry impact. Lord, work this morning, but Lord, work this week, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, what comes to mind for you when you think about our military? I get to ask that question a lot. Sometimes I'm in a church like this. Sometimes I'm in a place where the nearest base is hours away. That's where I grew up, in central Maine. There were no military bases where I grew up. And so sometimes they think about, you know, maybe an image they've seen. You know, the yellow ribbons and a homecoming and the excitement of those kind of things. For other folks, it's maybe because of something they've experienced in their own family or in their own military experience, they might think of an image of a place like Arlington Cemetery with the wreaths on it at Christmas time. Maybe they think of, or they think it's going to be somebody they're going to see in uniform or a military vehicle or a ship or a plane flying over. A lot of things come to mind when people think about the military, but there are some things that the average person doesn't know at all about the military. It's not their fault. They just don't know. Really about the challenge that comes with that life. The almost gypsy kind of lifestyle it feels like sometimes. How many of you have moved more than 10 times? Anybody? A few of you, yeah. That's not uncommon. Thankfully, the military is stabilizing a little bit better now. At least the Army is. Some of the other services were doing better already. But they're stabilizing a little bit better, so it's possible that you don't have to change your zip code all the time, get new checks made, or get new license plates, or whatever the case it is when you're moving along. But they don't really understand a lot about the pressure that's on them and what it really requires of you when you got to uproot and go someplace and start all over again, trying to form a new circle of support, perhaps. Maybe it's just the headache of trying to find a good mechanic. I can't remember how many times I've gone through that and how many times I didn't meet such a good mechanic on my way to trying to find a better one. If you're a believer, it can be the challenge of trying to find a church, a new church family, people that you can find support with. And sometimes folks think that don't know much about the military, well, they've got chaplains. Why aren't they taking care of that? Why do we need to be concerned about it in a church like Faith Baptist Church? And if you were in the military, you realize you happen to have a former pastor and a speaker here this week that you know very well, who's an excellent chaplain, who's a doctrinally sound chaplain. I was in the military for 26 years. You know how many independent Baptist chaplains I met in 26 years? None. I met one Baptist chaplain in 26 years. And so the average person, if they go to chapel, the chance of them hearing a message like you get to hear every time you're in a church service is very, very low, very, very limited. And yet people think that that's taking care of the need. So the question that, and you've got a handout if you want to take notes as we go along, if it'll help you. The question that I think is worth asking is do they deserve special attention? I mean, why the military? Why not somebody else? Why not doctors? Why not nurses? Why not first responders? Why not? Why the military? Are they different than somebody else? And the reason I think that they need special emphasis is because those very images that most people see, they elicit emotion. People will be concerned about the military, but it doesn't necessarily address what their greatest need is. The military does a very good job, I think, of training and equipping. They help with housing or provide housing. They take care of medical and dental needs. There's a lot of things that they do very well, I think. But the spiritual side, I think, is hugely neglected. And so I do believe they need attention. Our country wants to refer to them as heroes. I'm not a huge fan of that term. There are heroes in the military. I had to do UCMJ on some guys while I was in the military. Refer guys for court-martial while I was in the military. Sit on court-martial panels while I was in the military. And so that term is not one I like to use. I think the Bible gives us a much better description of who they are and who we all are, and that is that we're sinners before a holy God. And so they need special attention because they're sinners. They need the opportunity to hear the gospel. You know, God desires that how many perish? None. He desires that none should perish. He's not slack concerning his promise. He wants all to come to repentance. And if you know the Lord today, and everybody I've talked to, I'm sure if you're here for Sunday school, you're a believer. At some point in time, you had to respond to the gospel. Somebody cared enough to share it with you. Did you know who Peter's first Gentile convert was? Any guesses? A military officer. His name was Cornelius. We're going to take a look at that, Lord willing, tonight. Isn't it interesting to me that that is somebody that would be highlighted. I don't think God was trying to make a super strong statement about it, although we hear about centurions and sometimes about their faith. But it's interesting to me that Peter could have easily considered him to be the enemy, and in some regards did, and yet we see somebody reaching out to those who were maybe viewed as oppressors and everything else. You know, another reason that I think it can be important for us is because the military profession is inherently dangerous. Those of you who served, you don't need me to tell you that. And I'm not suggesting that there aren't dangerous occupations out there. You know, if you talk to first responders, they deal with some pretty dangerous circumstances. But I don't know another profession where we tell them that their duty is to run to the sound of the guns. You don't run from harm's way, you run into harm's way. You're gonna make contact with the enemy. Your mission is to move to, close with, and destroy the enemy. Well, that comes with a lot of risk. And you don't always know when that call's going to come. Some of you, our military saw a very challenging 20 years or so of deployment cycles of people who kind of knew when they were going to go, but you don't always. Sometimes that call can come. And you're going to be gone within 2 or 3 days into a difficult circumstance. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul told the Ephesians that they ought to redeem the time that they had because the days were evil. And one of the reasons why I think military ministry is important is because the men and women that are serving at Fort Riley may be here this week or this month and be gone, a large number of them, for an extended period of time. That may be predictable, it may not be predictable, and so we don't need to pass up on our opportunity to try to reach them. Another reason why I think it takes special emphasis is because the military culture presents unique challenges. I don't know if you've ever been in the midst of a conversation with all that acronym soup that comes. You know, if you stay with the Army, then you kind of get used to it for a while. My wife had to learn what all some of those silly things were and what they meant. But if you then find yourself now serving with other military, and now, of course, I'm in around bases of all different kinds since we're Armed Forces Baptist Missions, man, it was like starting all over again. I couldn't understand half of what they were saying. And so it takes some focus and takes somebody who wants to try to understand that as best they can and try to work within that language that they speak. Also, you need to think about the demographics. It's a young group of folks. 80%, 70% of the enlisted Marines are 24 years or younger. 35% of the non-commissioned officers across the services are 35 years and younger. And these are not old folks. And so you have to think about who you're trying to reach. Another group that sometimes can be challenging that may also at the same time present an opportunity is the females. Only 11% of Marine females in the Marine Corps, 24% the highest in the Navy and the Air Force. But even at that percentage, lots of times they can feel kind of isolated. It is still a lot of guys. And depending on your military specialty, you can be one of very, very few. My first assignment was in a helicopter unit overseas. We had one female pilot in the whole battalion, I think she struggled a lot because of that and had a tough time of it. And so that is a challenge. For somebody that you want maybe have an opportunity to reach. Another thing is that the mission field is what I call mobile, but it's also static. What do I mean by that? Well, we talked about moving, right? I mean, people do move a lot. They get called out for temporary duty in places. They get to go to vacation spots like the National Training Center and things like that. And they're gone for a while. And so somebody that you are hoping to see, maybe you invited and they're here for 2 weeks and then all of a sudden they disappear for a while and you think, oh, there they go. You may need to dig a little deeper to find out the reason they're gone is they got sent away for a couple weeks or a couple months or whatever the case may be. Think about that separation and the challenge that it presents. How many of you have been separated as a family for a month or longer? 6 months or longer? Keep it up. Year? Yeah, so several of you. I don't know an easy way to describe what that's like. It's a little different for everybody. But it is a big challenge. And I remember being in a church like yours near a base and what happens when a deployment like that comes. Sometimes the family that's left behind feels really alone. and it isn't uncommon sometimes for the spouse to want to go be closer to family if they're far away from family. And we have to be careful not to judge them for that kind of thing. We don't know what they're dealing with. We don't know all the struggles. And we'll talk in a minute about maybe opportunities that come. But at the same time, you've got people who are moving, people who are turned upside down for a period of time, however long that might be. There's also a static dimension to military ministry. And that is the fact that Fort Riley isn't going anywhere. It's not on the BRAC list, the base realignment and closure list. It's going to be here. And so when you think about, do we really want to invest ourselves a little bit more in trying to reach this base? I would tell you that although the people that are serving there are going to keep changing, they'll be new, some will come back, the fact that there's going to be opportunity, folks that need to hear the gospel, believers that need to be involved in a church like yours. You know, the first independent Baptist church I went to was in Germany. I didn't even know there was such a thing. I'd never heard of independent Baptist before. I was in a Southern Baptist church, and we were looking for something else. And God, through a flyer, informed us about this church. And it was life-changing for us. But that was because that missionary pastor knew that, in my case, Wiesbaden Air Base wasn't going anywhere. It's still open today. And there are people that are going to be coming and going. My family was one of them. They've seen it so many times over the 30-plus years they've been serving as missionaries over there. But they believed that it was still worth it because there were going to be new folks coming in. But you know, not everything is a challenge because the military is different. Because there are some things about the military that you ought to look at as an opportunity. The military folks, through the crucible that they go through over the period of their training and maybe the period of their service, you become, if you weren't, a little bit more submissive to authority. You have to. It's not an option for you. Well, I guess you can fight back if you want to, but it'll be very, very painful for you. Do you ever think about the fact that somebody who's submissive to the authority like that might be the same kind of person that might be submissive to God and what He has for them? It's interesting, in my experience overseas in churches, the number of young men that were called or responded to God's call to leave the military and go to Bible college and are serving the Lord in some capacity now because God worked in their heart. Men that are families that are serving in other capacities in churches, faithful lay people that are teachers and deacons and other kinds of things, because that's the mindset. They can be very open to what God wants to use them to do. But also, because of all these constant moves, they're used to the idea of new relationships. You know, some of us, we get our little circle, especially if we sit still for a long time, we have our smaller circle of people. And we ought to look for the opportunity to expand it and realize that these people want to connect with somebody. They really do. Even unbelievers want to connect with somebody. And so it can be a really unique opportunity when somebody new moves into your neighborhood. When you see somebody new on the job and can be welcoming towards them and gracious towards them, maybe having them in your home or just spending some time with them. The deployment thing, we talked about the pressures and the challenges. Do you realize that also brings opportunities? In our home church in Virginia, about 3 years ago, we bought a push lawnmower. Now, we have a big property. You wouldn't want to, no more than you'd probably want to use a push mower, a 20-inch push mower out here to do your yard. But we bought a lawnmower, and what do we use it for? We use it when a deployment happens and a wife is back home with some little kids and somebody can help take care of the yard. And we just sign, it's like a duty roster. It's dads and their teenage sons, usually. We always send at least two people. They go and they sign. Every week somebody shows up and mows that lawn while the husband is, in this case, in our church, the husband's, we have a big Navy presence. They're gone for 6-7 months at a time fairly frequently. But even a small thing like that can be a huge blessing to a member, to people who are in your church, or maybe it can even open a door of opportunity for somebody that's just visiting your church. Well, it's worth thinking about. I have the idea of a litmus test there, and that again is the question: is this a kind of a designer thing? You know, we got everybody's, not everybody, most people are pro-military in the sense that they'll thank someone they see in uniform. I occasionally fly, and every time before, as we're getting on the plane, one of the first groups they allow to board is active duty military with their ID. I mean, are we doing this because it's popular and we just want to be like the rest of the society? And the answer to that is no, we're not. The first question we have to ask ourselves, is this part of the Great Commission? Matthew chapter 28, verses you'll be familiar with. I'll read them to you again, though. It says in verses 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." It says, "Go ye therefore." It doesn't say to only go to a certain group. It just says, "Go." And right here in your backyard is a place where you can go. Right here in your neighborhoods outside the gates, I dare say there's probably a good number of military that live off base. There, you can go right there and proclaim the gospel. People, organizations, they'll get involved in sending care packages and things to our military while they're deployed. And that's a wonderful thing, but they need spiritual food. They desperately need it. And if we aren't doing it, I'm telling you, it's not going to get done. It's not going to get done. Even in a church like this, when you have a deployment that happens, you can learn maybe from somebody that's in your church that's serving right now. You can get plugged into their unit and get involved in sending stuff not only to that service member that's a part of your church while they're deployed, but to that unit while they're deployed, and include some spiritual food in there at the same time. There are ways that you can connect that are a little bit different, but they can be a real blessing. Whose mission is it? Well, it's the church's mission. It really is. It's not anybody else's job. They're not going to do it. You can appreciate organizations and the things that they do, like I said, but only the church can do what they can do. It's important because the military folks that some of you work with, some of you have worked with, very diverse group, even diverse religiously, if I can say it that way. They come from a lot of different faiths. It isn't uncommon that lots of them are kind of scripturally illiterate. They just, it's their background. I mean, I was a believer when I came in the military, but I'd never really been challenged until I went to a church like this overseas to really be studying things and examining things through the lens of Scripture. Why are you doing this with your children? Why are you doing this with your finances? Why are you doing this on the job? What does Scripture have to say about that? Not just what does the pastor have to say about it. It can be a real help and a real blessing. And so the church has to be involved. Is it a missionary task? I think it is. Why? How many of you have access to Fort Riley? Okay. Not all of you do, right? Why? Well, because since 9/11, it's been a little tougher to get on a base. Now, sometimes you can get an access, like, as a pastor or something, you can get someone to sponsor you so that you can go on regularly. But it takes some effort to do that. And so it takes somebody who cares, but somebody who also is especially prepared or qualified to be able to do that. So even for in our agency, especially for our missionaries that are overseas, having base access is essential. Because if you don't, how hard is it to try to reach these folks? How hard is it for them to even be aware of your church unless you can interact with them where they work and where they serve? Does it fit the missionary model? What do I mean by that? Well, first, the message. What's the message of a missionary? It's the gospel, right? Well, let me ask you, are we going to share anything different with our military? We're not. It's the same message. It doesn't matter who we're sharing it with. The message of Christ and Him dying for their sins and being born again and raised on the third day, as Paul talks about in Corinthians, it's the same message. So we don't do anything any differently. What about the method? How do we do that? Well, we can do it with tracts, certainly. We can do it with mailings. But it's most effectively done in person. So it's preaching, it's teaching, it's sharing. Again, different for the military than it is with anybody else, but somebody has to be intentional about that. The means part of it can vary sometimes, just like it does in real world. You know, when I was stationed in South Korea, they still do occasionally, they send balloons across to the north. Because they're hard to shoot down, you know, hard to even detect, especially with their capabilities. And I'd get really mad about it and say they were going to start World War III because of sending Christian literature across, but folks still do it. You know, Paul made it his effort when he would go into a new place to go right into the synagogue, right into the bee's hive. And that's where he would preach the truth to people, the Jews, who needed to hear it. And that's what we need to do. We need to go into it and have a way that we can share it. Now, sometimes on a base, that can be done different ways. You're not going to have an opportunity to start a church on base. You don't want to anyway, because all those rules that apply to the chapel and what they do, they don't apply out here. Amen? We're an independent church. We respond directly to God and His leading. But there can be other opportunities. Bible studies. Sometimes it's advertising something that brings them out here. You may know this, but the chapel, the purpose of the chaplain is for the unit that they support and for the leaders that they advise. If they have time, they'll seek to minister to the families, but they're not really funded for that. Their emphasis is more towards that unit and taking care of the soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, coasties, and like I said, being an advisor to that command group. And so, something that maybe we take for granted in a church like this, and you have in other churches you've been in, is something like VBS, Vacation Bible School. We have a widow missionary. Her husband's with the Lord now, outside of the Great Lakes Naval Training Center. She's not going to operate a church anymore. She's a member of a church. But every summer, and it takes a lot of effort to do this, every summer she runs a VBS with the help of her church and some volunteers that usually come from someplace else. And the primary target is folks on Great Lakes Naval Training Center. And in her case now, after a few years, they actually let her use a chapel building on the facility. And she brings everything else in and runs a VBS on the base with no restrictions. Think, wow, I had no idea that was even possible. You know, with God, all things are possible. It doesn't happen that way everywhere, but she's been after this for years. And every February or March, I join her in praying as her paperwork goes through again. Now, she does some other things with the ladies too, but you know, there are things that you can do that really can have an impact that are a little different, a little unorthodox, maybe seemingly, but can be a blessing. So what about methods? How do you do it? I've alluded to some. Let me share a few things. The first thing I would say is truth is a must, but love matters. What do I mean by that? Well, the truth part of it I hope is clear to you, because I talked about how diverse this group is that you're going to be interacting with, and maybe what they hear, they might hear through something like the chapel. if they even participate in something like that. But you can give them the truth and attract, and you should do that. But it takes more than that, oftentimes. It's a relationship that you're asking God perhaps to build. You want to try to get to know them. You want them to want to get know about you, want to get know to know more about Faith Baptist Church. And you're going to have to work at it for that to happen. The first thing that I would encourage you to do is just try to get them to participate in some way. Now, they may not be here every week. They may not be willing. They've never even heard of the idea that churches meet more than once a week. And so you have to be considerate of the fact that God may need to grow them into something. But this is where you want them to come. We operate Christian Service Center. I'll talk a little bit more about that maybe in this and on Monday night. But I don't want them to think something else is a substitute for being right here, gathered together with this group. And so that's what you want them to understand as well. It's all about the local church. And so because of that, sometimes you have to make an effort to help them get here. Now, most military young guys today and gals today probably have transportation, but they might not. And it might be that with a van, as you've started to build relationships with some folks, or maybe you've invited somebody, maybe that there's a place that you can pick people up to get them here. Or maybe you can provide transportation because they're here and you want to do an activity and you want them to be a part of it. And so you help with that. You need to have a plan for single families and kids. I told you how old military service members are. In our church in Germany, the first one we ever went to, I think the nursery was half the church. I'm not really sure. I mean, there were so many little kids. I was down outside of, what's it called now, Fort Liberty, Fort Bragg, a church that was a storefront when we were there 30 years ago, and I'd gone down to preach right before their 30th anniversary. The pastor asked me to come back because we knew what it was like. And my son could still tell you how he could hear the taekwondo studio next door going, hi-ya, while they're doing Patch the Pirate Club, you know. But now it's a thriving church. They've got a school. And I was in there, and I felt like I should be in a wheelchair or something. There were so many young people, and there was so much activity, so much little kids. It was just like constant motion and commotion. Now, I wasn't out of control or anything before the service, but it was a huge reminder to me just that you have to think about, are we prepared to minister to those kind of folks that are going to come with that kind of a group? I mentioned about Christian Servicemen Centers. If you, and you don't have to be a serviceman center to do that. You can use a facility like this for that. Sometimes even just offering a Bible study on another night of the week. Come on here, we're going to have light food, chili, I don't know, whatever, and coffee, and we're going to study God's Word together. Giving those folks a place that they can come on a Friday night or a Saturday night when most of the people that they work with are going in a very different direction. And they just don't want to be around that. They want to be someplace else. That can be a real blessing in a way that your facility can be used in an even greater way since you already have it. God's provided it. Relationship building, I already talked about, it's essential. It really, really, really is. In a lot of countries, that's more important than anything else. You come to a church like this, and their service will be two hours long, but people will stick around for 2 hours after the service because they're just all about being together and spending time with each other and encouraging one another. In the U.S., we tend to be a little bit more beam in, zoom out. You know, that's just, we're off to whatever the next thing is. And if we aren't careful, we don't really focus on that. And so if you're a stranger, if you're a visitor, then that can be really kind of uncomfortable. The The church that we go to now, we joined way back in 2005, right before I retired. And it had 350 people in it. And when we visited it the first time, I was like, this ain't happening. We'd been in military churches around bases all our lives. And if we had a church that had 100 people in it, we were like, wow, this is a big church. Most of the time it was 50, maybe 75, depending on the PCS cycle. And so we get in this big church, and I thought, my kids will get lost in here. And I don't want that to happen. They're teenagers. I don't need them to get lost right now. And this spirit of anonymity, nobody knows who I am, nobody cares who I am. I want them involved in ministry and focused. But you know what made the difference besides the Lord's leading? The friendliness of people. I wasn't ready for the fact that so many people would make an effort to come up and greet me and my family when we came. And then we came back the second time, and they remembered who my name. And they remembered my family's name. And we had six kids. So that was no small task. And I was like, whoa, how in a group this big? Well, why'd that happen? Well, that man's still in our church today. And that was just his ministry. We've got others that are like him that will their whole time before church sets up is not to come talk to me or talk to you if they know you. They go talk to the people they've never seen before. And they want to find out, who are you? Why are you here? And tell me a little bit about yourself. And then they'll seek them out after that. That's really, really, really impacting if you're new. Something to think about. You can offer food. That's a big deal. But the fellowship part of it is often what people are looking for, like I said, that connecting. And that can start right at the front door here and continue after that. Another thing that I would mention to you is in your handout there is roles matter, but rank does not. You know, if you had three military visitors active duty in here for the service this morning, and you had a major, and you had a sergeant major, and you had a sergeant, who do you think most likely might come back next week? Probably the sergeant. Now, it is what it is. But yet, who do people, if they know who they are, who do they sometimes migrate to? They want to find out, who's that guy over there? You know, ooh, you know, or I heard he's a whatever. And in church, there's no place for that kind of thing. You know, that did happen in the New Testament. Remember over in James chapter 1? Chapter 2, I mean, Paul said, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also in a poor man in a vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit here in a good place, and say to the poor, sit thou there or under the footstool, are you not partial in yourselves? Just forget that. You know, you who are in the military, you know, you deal with that all week long. I don't want to deal with that in church. I just want to be in church with brothers and sisters in Christ, and we just want to serve the Lord together and grow in our faith. And so think about that even when you are introducing people to other folks. Introduce them by what their name is. Don't introduce them by what their rank is. Just realize that God cares about every one of them. He cares about the major. He cares about the general. But he cares about the newest private as well. And so God wants us to be available to all of them. Much diversity, but one truth is on your handout there. What do I mean by that? Well, I don't know if you've ever looked at it, but I went to the Fort Riley Chapel website just to educate myself. And so today, Sunday, there will be three Protestant services, what's called Chapel Next, which probably would help you, need me to tell you what that's not what you'd call traditional, in the Victory Chapel. There's traditional chapel, Protestant service in the main chapel, and there's a gospel service in the Morris Chapel. There's also an Anglican service in the main post chapel today. There's a Catholic service in the Victory Chapel today, as well as in the St. Mary's Chapel, and there's three other Catholic services during the week. And there's a pagan service on the first and third Wednesday in the Normandy Chapel. They also advertise one kind of service on the webpage. It's not Faith Baptist Church. Sorry to disappoint you. It's the Latter-day Saints. I looked at that and went, how did they rate? How did they get to get listed? I don't know who the chaplains are. I guess I'd assume that probably there's a Mormon chaplain on the base, but I'm not really sure. But you know, it is interesting that on that page, they advertise Awanas. Are you familiar with Awanas at all? It can be a good program. And they actually run Awanas on base, which really kind of shocked me a little bit, given everything else. But what they don't do is they don't advertise your church or any other Bible-preaching churches that might be in the area here. When somebody wants to find out what's going on, that's what's going on. And you listen to the smattering of what it is. Nowhere in there is the word Baptist. Not that that's the be-all, end-all, but in our doctrine and what we choose to follow, I believe it is in line with Scripture. And so I'm Baptist by conviction. But it's so many other things are available to them. And so a base like Fort Riley, the people that you're going to talk to that have religion, they aren't necessarily going to be easy to reach. Because it's convenient to go to chapel. I don't know how many have been to a chapel service. Yeah, okay. Some probably by necessity. That was my experience as well. I mean, it's easy to just beam in, do your time, and beam back out, and the block's checked, and you're good to go for another week or however long it is before you go back again. And there's no ever a sense that there ought to be a deeper connection with God or with other people. In terms of methods for military missions, I would say this: expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. It was an adjustment for me to sit still once I left the military. And to be in the same church now for, 18 years almost. It's kind of shocking. I don't like doing math now. It's hard to remember what it was like before that and how uncertain things would be, maybe with my duty schedule. The number of times my wife would have to handle things because I wasn't going to be there. And that is a mindset that you have to ask God to help you to appreciate, because the people that you may be ministering to can be in such a different circumstance from 1 week to the next, 1 month to the next, 1 year to the next. And you want to be available to them. The first thing I put on there is forget about family portraits. Now, I was harassing Chaplain Willis a little bit because I was looking at your missionary board and I saw his prayer card. I was like, brother, your prayer card's woefully out of date. I didn't know what your family looked like, and I know they don't look like that. I saw his wife and his kids, and they're all grown up now. And he's sporting, you know, not so much dark hair as he used to have. But with my family, because I have six children, they live in different places, trying to get everybody in one spot and get a picture is a massive challenge. And now, because we're in the next stage of life, the glorious stage of life called being grandparents, we get a family picture made finally, and within a year, it's not valid anymore. And that's what it's going to look like here if God allows you to be a blessing. You've got some active families here right now. Whether they'll be here in 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, it's in the Lord's hands about how he's going to superintend over all that kind of thing. But you who are stable are an essential element of a church like this and a ministry like this. But the rest of it, man, it's going to change quite a bit. And that's okay. That's by God's design, by placing you here outside of Fort Riley. I talked about redeeming the time. You know, tour length. The best time to get a hold of somebody is when they first get here, right? So being aware that somebody new moved into your neighborhood and just going with a plate of cookies to say hi. People don't do that so much anymore. It's not because of COVID. It's just because we just don't really know who our neighbors are most of the time. But if you know that there's somebody new moving in, try to find a way to make an initial connection with them early. Because if people can get settled into that kind of a routine early, it'll be a great blessing to them for the whole time that they're there. That doesn't mean it's not worth inviting somebody that's leaving in 6 months, because you could still be a spiritual help to them. But ask God to open doors early on. God puts people in a body like this. It says in 1 Corinthians 12 that body is fitly joined. And that's literally what it means. God put you here, and He put you here, and He put you here, and you here. He put you here because He has a purpose for you here. And there are some pieces missing sometimes. And we have to ask God, show us who those people are, who those pieces are. And God, do your work to bring them in here because they have a part to play in it as well. The next one's the consistency of inconsistency. You know, it's funny because in the military we have the battle buddy system where you're supposed to know what's going on with your battle buddy all the time. Can I tell you that's the system you need to adopt here if you have military ministry? You need to be paying attention to those folks and what's going on. And don't assume because they're not here that you know why they're not here. It could be illness, but it could be something else. And so you want to stay in contact with them and really have a close connection with them. I had a pastor, they just came off the field, the one in Germany that we knew. They were in Germany for almost 40 years. And now they're doing furlough fill-in for their missions agency. I reached out to him because I was teaching a seminar to some chaplains and some military missionaries about this sort of a thing. And I asked him, how do you do this? I mean, you've been around a base where at least half of your church was military, if not more, overseas. Every summer, the same thing happens. A bunch of people leave, and you pray that God will send a bunch more people in. How do you keep doing that? And he said, it's all about your perspective. He said, I had to realize that God was only going to give them to me for a certain period of time to this ministry and this opportunity. And I needed to view it in kind of a sports analogy. And that's the idea that I was building somebody else's bench. I'm training future Sunday school teachers. Maybe they'll teach here for 6 months in a three-year tour. Maybe they'll teach for a year. I'm teaching future youth workers. I'm teaching future nursery directors. I'm teaching future deacons, whatever. I'm building somebody else's bench, and I have to accept the fact that I'm going to pour and pour and pour, and then they're just going to leave, and somebody else is going to benefit from that. Because by the same token, the same thing happens this way, too. If other churches are doing that same thing, the Lord's going to send into your midst that staff sergeant, that sergeant first class that's been in churches, five or six other churches, and they come in, and they're ready to teach tomorrow if that's what you need. And so that can be a real blessing. But you have to accept the fact that you're going to invest, and then they're going to leave. And so, methods, what's your role? Pray for mission fields. Pray for what's nearby here. Do you pray personally? Do you pray for your outreach to Fort Riley? Do you pray for a unit by name if you're in one or you know of one? If there's Garden Reserve Centers here, do you ever pray for them and for the opportunity to try to reach them? It isn't you happen to have a lot of active duty, but they're not always the only ones around here. Maybe you can focus on a particular unit. Maybe you make it a prayer emphasis for a month. We're going to pray for, I mean, I know that the Big Red One is here, but there's supporting organizations there. So maybe you pray for one of the infantry brigades, or you pray for the aviation brigade, or you pray for the support brigade, or whatever. Maybe just do that. It'll make you think about them if they're on your prayer list. Even if you don't know somebody that's in there, let God take care of that part of it. Obviously, you can support those who are trying to reach our military. I know you support the Willises, and he's trying to raise up chaplains who will actually tell people the truth and encourage them in that. And so you get to have a part in something as amazing as that. We've got folks, and I'll share more about it, overseas and here in the U.S., And it's because of churches like yours that are supporting them that they're out there ministering where they are, planting a church and trying to reach folks. Invite folks. I don't know if you ever do a special event during the year that's military-oriented. Sometimes churches around a Veterans Day or the 4th of July or Memorial Day. I was talking to Brother Willis because he and I have to squeeze back into our uniform several times a year. He has to shave his beard off too, which I think that's kind of cool. But because they're doing a special outreach effort. And you know, something like that, it can be a drawing card for folks that might not come at another time. You're just doing a military appreciation service. Of course, the gospel is going to be given. Maybe you have a potluck after or whatever. Stick around, have some food. But it can be an opportunity to reach not only the active folks where we are. We try to reach folks in the VFW. We try to reach the guard and reserve folks. And we do something every year at our church. And every year, God sends in some visitors. And not every year somebody gets saved, but almost every year, God opens a new door of opportunity for us to do some kind of follow-up with at least one person. And to us, that can be a blessing. And just getting them to come here can be an opportunity for them to get to know some other folks. And then, really the last thing is, be a gospel proclaimer yourself. We I don't know, about 6 months ago, I don't know why we hadn't done it before, we just hadn't, but we got some tracks with a little more of a patriotic front to them, just because they sometimes draw a little more attention if you either leave them someplace or you give them to somebody. But work to get the word out there. One of our missionaries, interestingly, and I'll be done, is outside of McGuire Air Force Base, Fort Dix, up in New Jersey. It's a consolidated base now. And I mean, it was the Lord, because I've not seen any place else. I've been up with him a couple times. But he somehow got approval to put literature in the day rooms of the barracks. And so he has to go back every Saturday just to make sure, to see if they need to put more Bibles or tracts or whatever he's got in there, literature about his church. Now, every time I've gone with him, there isn't a lot of literature gone. Sometimes there is some. But what it does do is it opens up the door of opportunity for us to have a conversation with anybody that we bump into. We can't go knock on doors. We don't. We can't go in the dining facility and hand out literature. We can stand in the parking lot 50 feet away. But we can talk to people. And so if they're willing to have a conversation with us. And I was up there in June, May, I can't remember. We were on base. And God gave us 5 opportunities to have a conversation with somebody and share the gospel. 5 times. And of that 5 times, 2 extended conversation, in both cases, 2 young men prayed to receive Christ. One a Marine and one an airman. And it kind of shook me a little bit, because I just hadn't seen anything like that in so long. I get a little jaded about it sometimes, thinking, is this going to even work anymore? And it was kind of a wake-up call for me to remind me that you just can't give up on this. You can't doubt whether or not somebody might be willing to hear, or whether or not they might later on look at some literature that you gave them, or John and Romans that they were willing to accept from you. Or maybe that just because you've invited them 5 times and said no, that maybe it's the 6th time that will make the difference. We just have to be willing to continue on trying to reach the folks that God has burdened us for. And so if God has really put that on your heart, a few things to think about with regards to the role you can have, the ways you can pray, some things your church could do. There are others, certainly, but there are opportunities. But it's a commitment. It's a big commitment, frankly. And like I said, because of the turnover and things like that, sometimes you'll think, "Wow, is it worth it?" It was worth it for my family, every place we served, and the churches that were a blessing to us. And I can tell you that you're being a blessing to people here, some who are serving right now, and so it is worth it. And it'll be worth it for anybody that might come in here and hear the gospel and get saved, or somebody who's been saved and needs a place where they can grow, where they'll actually hear the truth. Because they'll hear a lot of other stuff and not know. And so you have a unique opportunity, I think. And I encourage you just to reflect on it, but start praying. Praying is often where it often starts. Praying for wisdom, but also just praying for God to do something. And if you can be a part of it, Lord, use me. All right? God bless you. I look forward to getting to know you better and spending more time together.